I'll be honest with you, I've never really enjoyed shopping for clothes. It's just not my thing. But I do like getting nice clothes, and I like looking good, and I like feeling confident when I get dressed. So what's the solution here? It's Stitch Fix. This is an online personal styling service that has helped so many people get better style effortlessly. So stop scrolling through a bunch of websites and stop driving to stores and just go to Stitch Fix. Here's how it works. It's very simple. You take a quick style quiz. You share your size, your vibe, your budget. You're going to get linked with a stylist and an actual human being, by the way. So you get linked to the stylist and they do the rest of the work. You get sent a fix box with clothes that actually fit you and make sense for your style and your needs. And then you try them on. You keep what you like, you send back what you want to return, the returns are free, the shipping is free, no subscription is required, and you're gonna get a free try on for your first order. So get started today at stitchfix.com/football. That's stitchfix.com/football.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Yeah, baby. FFT After Dark. Sunday night, September 6th. Getting you ready for your Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, guys.
Happy Labor Day to you, Adam.
It's pretty much this is the thing for the next 4 months, right? Yeah. Sunday nights.
Yeah, about an hour earlier than this. We'll go on the air around 8 o'clock, 7:50, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights to recap the action. What is Sunday Night Football Week One? Are we looking forward to that game?
I think you are.
I sure am.
Giants Cowboys.
Oh man, we get to watch it all together.
The whole season's going to be on the line right away in week one.
34-10.
You think the Giants are going to win by 24, Heath? Come on, man.
I do not.
You know, in being in a guillotine league with Dave, where he has two Cowboys with his first two picks, Giants shut him out.
Okay.
Yeah, I took CeeDee and Javonte with my first two picks.
Ooh, yeah, that's not bad. All right. Anyway, welcome to the show. Today we're going to talk about.
And let me mention, it's an 18 team league, so less people think that I, whiffed in round two.
I think everybody knows how many teams in a guillotine.
I don't know. Not everybody does.
Yeah, it's not always people who have done it. The others, not necessarily. I know someone who's in a 15 team guillotine league because they just couldn't find enough people, so they're just going to end it early.
Not everybody's a winner like you and me, Jamie.
Is that you? Because you didn't have that many friends?
Did Dan do the draft?
Tomorrow night. Or Monday
Live?
Night.
Live? Is he coming?
Monday night. No. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the players who have risen or fallen the most throughout the draft process. Okay, basically the last month. Who are the biggest risers and fallers, and what are we expecting? These are buzzworthy players that need to be talked about, even if it's just one last time before we really turn our attention to week one. But let's start with the Josh Jacobs news here. His court date was moved up to September 10th. Heath, did you adjust anything based on this? I didn't really know exactly what to make of it here, but much earlier, 4 days from now is his court date. So did you adjust anything?
Yes. I um, I had Josh Jacobs at the end of round 10 and didn't really want to take him until round 11. I moved him up to the end of round 9, and then I was in an FFPC draft and took him early in round 9 because of the structure of my team. So I think he's up a round or two, and I don't think anybody actually knows for sure what this means, but the way that I'm taking it is that Josh Jacobs would like to get this all done with and hopefully be playing week 7.
Dave, your take on Josh Jacobs moving up his court date?
I think Heath's take is reasonable. There's a chance that it could be longer than week 7 before we see him. There's always things that can happen and videos that could be released that could alter said timeline. But yeah, I'm interpreting this as Jacobs and his legal team trying to get resolution over and done with so that the league can make a decision on how long he's going to be suspended for. And now he's got a chance to play this year.
So when would you take him and when would you take Lloyd, Dave?
I have Jacob still in round 10 because there's still the uncertainty and the chance that he does not play this year. So I don't want to spend. Yeah, Heath, you were taking him in early round 9?
So yeah, I took him like it was 9:04, and it was a tournament type to where like the upside of if Jacobs is there in the playoffs is worth a little bit more.
I'm not going to nitpick that. I spent 2% of my budget in an auction draft on Jacobs. The news broke that the court date got moved up while we were doing our auction draft. I dabbled, but I'm not going to overspend. And Lloyd went down a little bit, but he's still a running back that you know you're going to have for the beginning of the season. So happy to still take him in that round 6-7 range.
I'll give you a couple of different ADPs, and then Jamie, you can hop in here. The NFC average draft position just from the last 2 days has Marshawn Lloyd at RB 29. So it's Jaylen Warren, Jonathan Brooks, Marshawn Lloyd, RB 29, 80th overall, and then Tony Pollard, Blake Corum. Josh Jacobs, RB 39, 113th overall. The Fantasy Pros real-time ADP, which doesn't exactly give you a date range. It just says, instead of showing you where players were drafted yesterday, real-time ADP shows you where they're being drafted now. And it puts now in italics, so that's interesting. Has Josh Jacobs actually going ahead of Marshawn Lloyd? Jacobs is RB 31, 88th overall, and Marshawn Lloyd, 91st, 34th overall.
Hey, that's not real.
Not to crowd Jamie out, but FFPC, so real drafts from the last 2 days, 22 drafts. Jacobs at 76, or I'm sorry, Lloyd at 76, Jacobs at 88.
Okay. I think a lot of people, you know, that are just drafting now, casual people, maybe don't even really know about Marshawn Lloyd, kind of basing that based on the draft I just did. Like, while there's
not a lot of casual people in the FFPC draft.
Exactly. So the real-time fantasy pros thing, I think, is maybe explains Jacobs going ahead of Lloyd. Jamie, when would you take the two of them?
I think the ranges have been accurate, you know, somewhere after round 9, and I think Lloyd somewhere after round 6. I think that's fair. You know, you got to be a little bit cautious now with Lloyd, just with the potential of, I think Dave hit it on the head, that the legal team for Jacobs, this is his only chance to play this season, is to get his name cleared. So if this was going to wait until November, I would be very surprised. I would have been very surprised if the NFL was going to change its mind on allowing him to play beyond maybe sitting out a 6-game suspension. But this wasn't a suspension. It was the exemplar. So we still don't know. There's still an uncertainty about this. You know, the court case may be worse for Jacobs. You know, he may end up, as Dave alluded to with the video, you know, we may find out that it's worse than what the charges were. Remember, I think it's a little bit confusing to some people. It's not a felony charge because he's not married. You know,
create great harm.
They don't have the proof of it.
Okay. I'm sorry, I probably butchered. I was trying to think what Drew Davenport said, that it was not.
I think it was not a domestic violence case.
Yes,
because they're not married. Yes, right.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Right.
I think the felony was regarding the severity.
Right.
Domestic violence was regarding the marriage.
Right. Excuse me. So I apologize. In any event, I think we could find out that he's still out for the rest of the season. So just don't get too excited. The way I have been approaching it, you know, still have 2 more drafts to go. The way I have been approaching it is I'm not reaching for Marshawn Lloyd and I'm not reaching for Josh Jacobs. If they are in the appropriate spots where I feel like it's comfortable to draft either one, I will do it.
All right. So would you take Tony Pollard or Marshawn Lloyd?
It depends on the build of my roster. If I'm looking for the most upside, I would take Lloyd.
Agreed.
Heath?
I think it depends on the league, too.
All right. You know what? Honestly, like, your silence, your pause kind of says exactly how you feel right. about them, right? Okay, I understand.
You don't want to be in a situation where you drafted Marshawn Lloyd and come week three, you know, he's a backup and you spend a sixth round pick on him. You don't want to draft, you don't want to let him go to somebody else and he's the starting running back for the Packers for the entire season. He's played one game. Like, you know, I think we tried to be as realistic about the situation as possible. Like, this is a great situation. It's unbelievable if he's the starting running back for the Packers for the entirety of the year. But he may not be the starting running back for the entirety of the year. It's worth still taking flyers on. I've done it in almost every draft or free agent runs that have happened to pick up Christopher Brooks to see what happens just in case he's the guy. You want to take a flyer on Caleb Johnson, take a flyer on Caleb Johnson. You know, he may end up at some point being extremely relevant for the Packers. It's very wide open.
Yeah. A lot of people, by the way, are picking up Chris Brooks in my leagues. And every time I see it, I go, oh, why didn't I pick up Chris Brooks? So if he's a free agent, go ahead and take a look at Chris Brooks. He at least is going to catch some passes for the Packers.
There's two that are very easy, and it's Chris Brooks and George Halani, because we just don't know what roles they're going to have, and throw them away after a week. You know, I mean, if they stink, it's just easy selections. If you drafted, you did a great job, you know, of this, Adam, of Jordan Tyson and Zach Charbonnet, of you get a free pickup because you can stash them on IR and you still have those players. And I will say this, if you want to start looking ahead, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers DST is widely available and they get the Browns in week two. So if you want to get that next DST, do that as well.
You can do that before Saturday. I do worry that Chris Brooks is just going to be no better than a passing downs back for Green Bay. It's going to take injuries for that to change. But Halani, and I think you've been ahead on this one, Jamie, like, could very well be taking on the Zach Charbonnet role to begin the year and probably wouldn't let it go unless Jadarian Price really takes off in Seattle's backfield.
And it's not just those two guys. I know we'll probably get into this during the week, but like, Malik Davis, Ray Davis, Samaje Perine. Like, there's so many of these. Seth McGowan. Like, there's so many guys that are just available. Jacob Sailors. Like, you could just stash these guys. God forbid an injury happens in week one. Mm-hmm. You've beaten the waiver wire. Congratulations.
Do you know?
You have that next lottery ticket.
Do you know? You want to guess Halani's roster percentage?
3%.
10%.
13.
7%. George Halani. Okay. Bam. Could be the goal linebacker for the Seahawks.
I do have, by the way, the last ADP review, there's four different articles. There's waiver wire information in all four of those articles. They're all on cbsports.com. It's, here are the guys, if you've already done your draft, go pick up these players now once waivers run.
Are we expecting Common on guy to play week one at Carolina?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. He was running last week in practice. DeAndre Swift said he looked good. So hopefully that means it'll be sooner rather than later from an on guy. Travion Henderson, would you agree it seems unlikely Henderson's going to play week one?
Correct. We agree.
Yeah, that would be Wednesday at Seattle. We also might not get Seattle safety Nicky Minwori in week one. He's
right.
A little beat up. And that means three pieces of their secondary. Because they don't have Kobe Bryant starting safety. He's now on the Bears injured. And they don't have Reek Woolen, who's now in the Eagles. But this would be a third guy if Eamon Worry doesn't play. Heath, what were you going to say?
Nothing.
Okay. That would be a big loss. Cam Scadaboo said that John Harbaugh asked him if he's ready for 20 carries a game. I said we're going to talk about risers and fallers. This has been a faller. Dave put him in his fallers list, just over the last month or so. And then there was also, I don't know, beat writer speculation that Najee Harris could eventually... Let me see. Actually, I can read it for you.
Thank you.
From The Athletic. It'll be fascinating to see how this running back room shakes out. I'm confident Cam Scadaboo will open the season as the number one back. Najee Harris could be anywhere from the number two to inactive if the Giants don't deem him fully ready to contribute. If it's not by the opener, my sense is it won't be long until Najee is RB2. From there, workload distribution will depend on the performances of Najee Harris and Cam Scadaboo. It wouldn't surprise me if Harris becomes a lead back at some point this season. That's from Dan Duggan of The Athletic, Dave. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yeah, and it's not just those two guys, but Tyrone Tracy still has talent that the Giants can use, and Devin Singletary has worked as their hurry-up offense running back, and they're going to mix and match these guys. There could be a world where Scadaboo starts games and could be in line for some short yardage goal line work, but Najee spells him a bunch and that Singletary plays on third downs and that Tyrone Tracy spells him sometimes. we've seen Greg Roman use multiple running backs before when he hasn't had a guy. I don't know if they feel like they have a guy right now. And so when training camp started, Scataboo was somebody that I was targeting in round three. Remember, I used to come on the show and say, the easiest thing in the world to do is draft Scataboo and draft Tyrone Tracy. Well, now there's two other guys in this backfield that might end up mattering. And I've just basically abandoned that plan. And now I'm not even that excited to draft Scataboo unless I'm really in need of a low-end RB2.
Well, now he's going at the 4-5 turn, Cam Scataboo.
That's better.
Yeah,
it's crazy, right? He's been one of the biggest fallers we've seen.
Do you consider him a big faller, Jamie?
I'm just going by his ADP. I mean, his, you know.
But in your rankings.
My rankings, he's fallen, yeah. He's he was probably at the start of camp, somewhere around RB 15, and now he's 24.
Oh, wow. He's still RB 19 over the last 2 days in NFC, which is 61 drafts.
But he really, the funny thing is, and like most of our drafts have happened the last 8 days, in terms of how many drafts have happened on CBS, and Cam Scataboo still has the 36th highest ADP at 38th overall, ahead of T. Higgins, Breece Hall, Ladd McConkey, Colston Loveland, Lamar Jackson, Tedrick McMillan.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's a little too high.
I've been drafting with Giants fans, so I saw him go 10th in a draft. All right.
I hope the people that took him early get rewarded. I mean, there's still a lot of talent and a lot of opportunity.
For sure.
You know, I think as the guys have said, it's going to be crowded. But, you know, you said this many a time, Adam, throughout the Najee Harris signing and Tyrone Tracy and whatever's gone on with him, et cetera, like the Giants would be stupid not to give Scataboo the majority of touches. We'll see if that plays out in all the important touches for us. You know, I know obviously Dan, our colleague Dan Schneiers, is tied into the Giants from a, you know, podcast perspective that he does on his own, and you know he pays attention to that team as much as anybody. He was just I saw him post something, you know, about they'd be stupid not to use Tracy in some capacity because he thinks he's their most explosive running back, you know. So it's really one of these, you know, maybe the most ambiguous backfield in terms of how we can, you know, see it comparatively to having a guy that we are still seeing get drafted at such a high level. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can say the Steelers, this, that, they're getting drafted close together. The Commanders guys, there's, you know, there's questions, but they don't go that far apart. You know, the Carolina guys may end up getting closer to each other or have been closer to each other the last couple of days because of Chuba getting healthy, you know, on and on. This is one where Scataboo goes so significantly ahead of everybody else in that backfield. And you may just win by taking a waiver wire move on Najee Harris, or still, because we've seen Tyrone Tracy not get drafted in a lot of leagues now. Like, those would be the two, I think, you just kind of, if you want to take a dart throw on who could still have value, those would be the ones that I would take shots on.
But yeah, that's kind
two
of,
things.
Well, I was just going to say, Dave, you can tie this in. That's kind of what's going on with everyone in round five, right? Like, David Montgomery is going way ahead of Woody Marks. Jadarian Price is going way ahead of George Helani, who's not even rostered in most leagues. Bejel Tootin is going way ahead of Chris Rodriguez. I do think you could argue that in all of those instances, it shouldn't be that way.
Scataboo is not really in round five.
4-5 turn.
Right. He's even ahead of
on some sides. So not on ours.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to make of that. But let me see. Dave, you can talk. Real time ADP for Scataboo is 42nd. So yeah, probably he's probably
around that's
four
getting bit. Closer.
It's around mid round four. Yeah.
Right. It's getting closer to the 4-5 turn. Two things. Number one, we can't sit here and say, oh, you've got to worry about Najee Harris and Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary. I mean, it's Najee Harris, Tyrone Tracy, and Devin Singletary. There is a pathway where Scataboo can blow those three guys out of the water and just at work as an alpha running back. So I'm wrong for saying what I said earlier. There's certainly a pathway for Scataboo to be awesome. Number two, if we're going to talk about things that Scataboo said, yes, he told somebody, I don't remember who, about the 20-plus touch comment from John Harbaugh. He also told Kay Adams that he was considering retirement this offseason after his injury last year. And he said that he came into the NFL thinking he would quit if he had one big injury, and he had one big injury, and obviously he decided not to quit. But that was an interesting comment
I considered retirement this offseason too, Dave, and then I was like, you know what, I can't
and
retire.
You didn't do it,
and
damn
that's
it.
What that's what Cam Scataboo was like, you know what, that'd be pretty stupid if I retired. I think so. No, I know,
but
it's different,
about
different
it.
Scenario, what but that doesn't matter. I mean,
what round was he drafted again?
fourth round, I believe.
Fourth round. It's one of the earliest.
Keith, does this go to your theory of day two running backs that get new coaches, coordinators?
That has been the working theory for the last few years, is that if you're a day three running back and the coaching staff likes you and then the coaching staff stays, you're probably safe. And the coaching staff changes and you're maybe not.
Yeah, but the coaching staff didn't draft a running back. I know they signed Najee, but
They sure tried. They tried just about everything they could to get a running back this offseason.
They wanted to sign one, they wanted to draft one. I think what Dan Duggan wrote is true. He's going to get the opportunity, and it's up to Scadaboo to be good in the first couple of games. It's really important for a lot of these guys. It's important to get out there and get off to a fast start. All right. Anyway, you shouldn't take him in the third round and probably shouldn't be taking him in the fourth round, I guess. Let's see if we can get closer to that 4-5 turner into round five for Scadaboo. And we still don't know about Malik Nabers. Let me tell you, for week one against the Dallas on Sunday night, not Monday night, podcast programming, Tuesday, I think we're gonna do some bold predictions. We have CBS Sports Network at noon Eastern, maybe Wednesday's bold predictions. I don't remember, but Tuesday, we're going to give you a preview for Wednesday night football. Wednesday, we'll give you a preview starter sit for Thursday night football. And then for the rest of the year, Thursday and Friday are going to be our starter sit episodes. Tuesday is going to be waiver wire. Wednesday is going to be kind of like trades, buy low, sell high, and things like that. Monday is going to be a Beyond the Box Score special with me, Dan, and Jacob. And Sunday night, we're going to recap the action. Also, we'll have a Friday mailbag that we'll publish on Saturday. So I think most of you know it, but if you don't, Sunday morning. Yeah, well, Sunday morning, we have YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, a live stream from 11 to 1. And also Dave, Jamie, and Heath are going to be on CBS Sports HQ, basically from 11 to 1, I think.
12 to 1.
12 to 1? Okay.
We're also going to have a weekly Wednesday YouTube-only show with Scott Turner.
That'll be
me and Scott. Scott's going to answer all the questions that we have from Sunday night through Tuesday about the upcoming week's games.
Okay. All right, so we have a ton of content for you. We're just getting started. Draft season's almost over, but we have a long way to go and a lot of fun to have. We're going to be right back after this break on Fantasy Football Today, and then we'll tell you our risers and fallers. I'm going to talk to you right now about Omaha Steaks, and this is a perfect time for me to do it because just last night, I cooked 4 Omaha Steaks for my family, and they were awesome, and we completely devoured them. And tonight, Omaha Steaks burgers and hot dogs for the family. They also have seafood and side dishes. They have so many things at Omaha Steaks. If you want affordable, easy to make, delicious food, Omaha Steaks is honestly a no-brainer. This is like having a trusted butcher and gourmet shop in your kitchen. And let me tell you about the burgers. Incredible deal here. Try a Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. This is what you're getting. 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak, each with its own unique flavor profile and texture. Again, incredible value. So try the Burger Perfection Flight from OmahaSteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with the promo code FFT. That's OmahaSteaks.com, promo code FFT for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
I recently took a trip to Memphis for the FFT Draftathon. While we were there, we also got to experience a little bit of what makes Memphis so special, including some of the food the city is famous for. We had Memphis-style barbecue with pulled pork, ribs, and all the classic sides. It was an incredible trip, especially getting to spend time with everyone involved, enjoy some great local food, and support a cause that means so much to all of us. And while I was away enjoying the trip, my place back home was just sitting empty. It got me thinking, if you're going to be away anyway, why not put that space to use? While you're traveling or taking off for a long weekend, you could list your space on Airbnb and earn some extra cash while you're gone. And when big events come to your city, like a major game, concert, festival, or convention, travelers are looking for places to stay. Listing your space on Airbnb can be a way to welcome those visitors to your city while putting your space to work and earning some extra cash that you can put toward your next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How much time do we spend on this podcast talking about value? Value is everything in fantasy. And that's not a bad way to think about healthcare, too. If you're someone who feels like you're paying too much for health insurance or just don't love the value you're getting, you should know about WeShare Health. We Share Health is a nonprofit alternative to health insurance, and their members pay up to 60% less than they would for traditional health insurance. Members have access to a nationwide PPO network with over 1 million physicians. In fact, there's a good chance your doctors are already in it. And how does unlimited telehealth sound? Pretty good value, right? If you're between jobs or self-employed, this could save you thousands of dollars a year. If this sounds interesting to you, take a few minutes to check it out. Call 1-888-WESHARE for a free quote. That's 1-888-WESHARE or check them out at WeShareHealth.org. All right, let's get to our risers and fallers here. And that is brought to you by Whoop, the wearable device that gives you personalized insights into your sleep recovery, your strain, and how daily choices may be influencing your overall well-being. Heath and Jamie, they have their Whoop on right now and always, basically. And if you want to learn more, head to join.whoop.com/FFT today. Join.whoop.com/FFT today. Heath, we were just talking about your Whoop before the show.
Literally, always. I went in the ocean for an extended period of time yesterday. Kept my Whoop on.
Love it.
Perfectly fine. No problem.
All right. Risers and fallers. We'll tell you some of the guys who have, I guess, really jumped or fallen over the last month or so. It basically, a little bit of a summary of the big storylines of draft season. Dave, Jared Goff and Brock Purdy were risers for you, and they're both going, you know, similarly. It goes Brock Purdy right now is QB 13.
Come on, Dave.
Brock Purdy is QB 13 in the real-time ADP. 109th overall, then Bo Nix, then Jared Goff.
Too low.
I think it actually goes Purdy. It goes Bo Nix, Brock Purdy, Jackson Dart, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, 12 through 16 or something like that. But Dave, Purdy and Goff are the risers for you.
I'm definitely leaving Brock for Heath because I know that he's excited to talk about him. And he's gotten me excited about Brock Purdy with all the analysis that he's done. With Goff, it's about the Lions' defense not really improving, the injuries in the secondary, the Terrion Arnold release. That stuff makes me nervous about their defense being particularly good. It means their offense is going to have to throw a lot, put up a lot of points to win games. I'm much more confident in the offensive line than I was a month ago. It sounds like right tackle, their rookie right tackle is going to end up being a good player. I'm still fairly bullish on the interior offensive line. I know that's a problem for Goff when he's pressured. He's not very good, but I think they'll work around it until they get their center back. And how do you get frustrated or nervous about a quarterback when four of his top targets are being taken with like top 70 picks in fantasy draft, including two in the first round? It's Gibbs. It's Amon Ross St. Brown. You know the names, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta. Heath, I think you've heard of Sam Laporta. Goff is going to have a bunch of opportunities to throw a ton. That's usually going to lead to good numbers. He does have some games in his past where he's thrown a lot and not put up huge numbers. I know he doesn't run. I'm not drafting him to be a top five fantasy quarterback, but if he has a special year like Stafford just had, he will finish as one. I actually happen to have where I had these guys ranked in February.
Okay.
And I can tell you where I have them right now. I had Purdy 14th and Goff 15th. And now I believe I have Goff 11th and Purdy 12th, both of them ahead of Mahomes.
Ramondre Stevenson is a riser for Dave, and I assume he's a riser for everyone. So
kind of obvious reasons why.
Yeah.
And honestly, he was a riser even before Travion Henderson missed a bunch of practice time. We've said this so many times, the reports out of New England were that Ramondre was improving his game and that Travion had not improved his game. Ramondre was 28th for me at one point in February, and now I believe he's a top 24 running back.
And if you look at recent ADP, Ramondre is RB 25 in those 61 NFC drafts over the last 2 days. And guess who's RB 26? Travion Henderson, still super close. The real-time ADP is... I think they're also back to back, but yeah, but Henderson's still ahead of Ramondre. So, round five for Ramondre.
Yeah.
Six.
I prefer six, but if running backs are flying off the board and you want somebody who looks like could handle every single touch in week one and then still be the 1A after that, Ramondre is the guy to look at.
Let's do another bet, Adam.
Okay. Oh, good. Cause the first one worked out so well.
First one's locked in. We got all the terms agreed to. We've got enough time. Two and a half days. We can agree to terms. Ramondre outscores Cam Scataboo in week one and full season?
I'm going to take Scataboo in week one. I don't know about full season. I would obviously draft. I mean, yeah, I guess I have to. I'm drafting Scataboo over Ramondre. But week one, really? Seattle is brutal.
It's not. Remember, they give up the pass catching.
They do.
He had 7 carries for 23 yards in the Super Bowl and still scored 18 and a half PPR fantasy.
Yeah, that touchdown.
He scored a late touchdown with about 2 minutes and 15 seconds left. The ball almost hit the ground.
But Travion Henderson played in that game, actually.
Yep. He had, I think Travion Henderson ran one route on third down or something. So Ramondre, you know, I don't know. There's nothing else I can grow.
I can think of something.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I like this conversation.
Yeah, me either. So Ramondre's a riser. Would you rather have Ramondre Stevenson or Jadarian
Price?
Ramondre.
I think I have Price a little higher. Let me double check that. I might not.
Let's see if Dave has...
I should probably know these things.
Let's see if Dave has Jaden Reed higher than Jamie has Jaden Reed, because Dave has Jaden...
I don't know. I've got Ramondre a spot ahead of Price.
Dave has Jaden Reed...
No, I'm deferring to Jamie on this one, too.
All right, well, how high do you have him? Because you put him as a riser.
He's a number 4 wide receiver for me, but he could certainly finish the year as a number 2 and is one of my favorite players to go after in the middle of late rounds.
Jamie, Jaden Reed?
Round 8.
Round 8. Okay, he's going 105th overall. That's the 9-10 turn in the real-time ADP, just ahead of Josh Downs, and that is someone that we liked a lot. Haven't really talked about him a ton lately, but we talked about him a lot a month ago. Jaden Reed or Josh Downs?
Downs for me, but it's close, and they're both in that. Downs to me is that round 8 guy in full PPR, and Reed is more round 8-9. So they're close.
Jamie, Heath?
Reed.
Yeah, I've got Downs. I'm I've kind of gotten more excited about Jaden Reed and remembered how awesome he was, and it's just made me think more that we're getting 105 Christian Watson targets, 95 Tucker Kraft targets, 90 Jaden Reed targets, and 85 Matthew Golden targets.
And that might be the best case scenario if the Packers' run game isn't good this year.
And I'm just not that excited about that.
Yeah. Remember, there is a world where either Marshawn Lloyd is great or Jacobs comes back and he's running the ball well. And that'll kill the upside for these guys.
That's the thing, is Jacobs didn't even run the ball that well last year.
In the second half, no. The first half, I thought he was pretty good.
And they just kept doing it.
Yeah.
Well, you had banged up Jordan Love in the second half of the season. You had bad Josh Jacobs second half of the season and banged up Josh Jacobs second half of the season. I'm kind of hoping and just hearing from people in Green Bay that we may have a more pass happy offense. And the last time we had a pass happy offense was a big year for Jaden Reed. It was 2023. It was a big year for Jordan Love, his best season so far as a fantasy quarterback. And he attempted 34 passes per game that year. So I'm kind of hoping we see that. The last 2 years, he's been under 30 pass attempts per game. And Heath is right. Like, we haven't seen a concentrated passing attack, but we also don't have a very robust receiving core like we've had the last couple of years for the Packers. So you got 3 receivers that hopefully will get their opportunities. So I don't think it's much more than the numbers he said, but I do think it's a little bit more. So maybe bump Watson up to 120 and the other 2 guys around 100. That's still probably kind of what you might get with the Colts offense too, because I don't think that's going to be the most pass happy offense either. So I think we get maybe a similar type of pass volume for those guys. And so I'm not going to argue Downs versus Reed. I think they're both kind of similar type players that we've seen some great moments, we've seen some good moments, and we've seen some crappy moments. And you're counting on, you know, at least on one hand, I trust Jordan Love a lot more than I do Daniel Jones. And I know Jones was great last year, but I just think that Jordan Love's ceiling is significantly higher. So for me, I'm going to take Reed. They're almost back-to-back. I think I have Reed at 39 and Downs, I think, is 41.
Yeah, Downs, I feel like, I mean, look, he scored 5 touchdowns on 107 targets 2 years ago, 4 touchdowns on 88 targets. I feel like touchdowns could be an issue for him. So maybe he's better in full PPR. Reed, you know, gets the rushing, which doesn't count in full. I mean, the yards count, but that doesn't help him as much in full PPR. Maybe it's a full PPR versus nine and a half scenario with those 2 guys. But what about Dejon's dribbling, Dave, and where does he factor in? Right now he's going after Reed and Josh Downs in the Fantasy Pros real-time ADP, but he's a riser for you, Dejon's dribbling.
He went from not even being in my top 200 to being right around pick 100, and it's just because he's the youngest and newest and potentially will never be double covered as long as everybody's relatively healthy in the 49ers passing offense. Evans, old guy. Samuel, old guy. I should call him Debo. Debo, old guy. Kittle, old guy coming back from an Achilles. Stribling, young guy who was fast-tracked in preseason games and got a crazy amount of targets based on his snaps. And obviously that's not going to be no one can believe that that's going to happen in games, but he's going to play a lot and he could be a matchup problem in the slot for San Francisco. And I like Purdy. I think Purdy's going to have a good year. I think he's going to throw plenty and Stribling's going to be one of those benefactors of it. Love getting him for my bench too, but I would take Downs ahead of him. I would take Jaden Reed ahead of him. And even guys like Jalen Coker, Matthew Golden, those guys I would take ahead of Stribling too, but he's an interesting name. And he's kind of fun. So looking for him in that round 9 range for sure, if not round 10.
He is young, you know, on this team. But it's
24.
Kind of, it is right. Kind of funny that Dejon Stribling is one of the oldest wide receivers from the draft class.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But he's like a baby.
Do you think, and I could just be completely wrong on this, but I still think that Stribling needs an injury.
Oh, to really take off? Of course. But that's why I'm drafting him in like, round 9 or 10.
To matter. Well, I mean, the thing is with the Packers and the Niners are similar. It's like if a guy gets 100 targets, their offenses are so efficient and that, you know, that they could matter.
But I don't think he's getting 100 targets if Evans and Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey are healthy.
No, I think you're spot on with that. But if there's a team you want to bet on with somebody getting hurt at that position or those positions, you know, they've already put Pearsall on IR, Christian Kirk on IR, Pearsall out for the season. You know, like Dave said, Kittle, we don't know what his role is going to be, you know, coming back from the injury that we're just excited that he's playing week one. And the same thing with Evans, like, you know, those two guys, you know, just where they're at right now. And so it doesn't appear to be that Debo is going to be that much of a factor in the passing game. That could obviously change as the season goes on. But I think if you're just making a bet on a wide receiver handcuff, essentially, or a wide receiver lottery ticket, like this is one of the best bets you can make because he's looked good. As Adam said, he doesn't need a lot of opportunities to be successful. We've seen a lot of different, you know, things happen with rookie receivers or young receivers in this offense. You know, Brandon Ayuk being probably the best example of that, you know, having some great moments as a rookie and then kind of getting back in the doghouse in his second year. And maybe that's just kind of who he is after what we're seeing. But there's just such an easy path to success here if that happens. And, you know, we talked about this last week, like, they've done, you know, I remember, I think it was after the first preseason game, it was like of the 20 snaps he played, it was like almost half and half inside outside of just moving him around to give him, I think, the opportunities to play a variety of roles just in case they need him to. So it's a great stash with potential to be more right away. But I think, you know, you're just kind of hoping like, oh, if Evans misses time and he's been banged up the last 2 years, or if, you know, they can't find a good complementary option. Like, he's got huge upside.
And one of the things that I've seen from the wide receivers who get drafted late, you know, I usually use round 9 or later, which pick 97, and end up being good. How do we predict them? Well, unfortunately, a lot of them really benefit from injuries, and you just can't really predict that. Brian Thomas Jr., a perfect example of that. And like Wandale Robinson and Michael Wilson last year, a perfect example of that. So it's hard to predict it, but you just have to, I guess my point with Stribling would be if there is an injury for the most, or even two, for the oldest, most injury-prone substation team in the NFL, like this could definitely be one of those guys that smashes his ADP. And unfortunately, look, it's totally realistic that you draft Dejon Stribling. He does nothing in week one in a super tough matchup. You drop him, and 4 weeks later, he's great. That happens all the time, but maybe that doesn't happen. Try to be patient. All right, let's go to Heath's risers here. Marshawn Lloyd. We already talked about him, and real quick, when would you take Lloyd?
Round 7.
Mike Washington, a riser for you.
And, you know, I think the fact that we're all kind of expecting now that Ashton Jeudy is going to play week one. So if you have a draft this final week, you'll get Mike Washington a little bit more reasonable than he was for a couple of days. But I think this guy was so good in the preseason. And he is a guy that Kubiak drafted after already having Ashton Jeudy on the team. I view him as one of those guys that's like a boom bust flex when Jeudy is healthy. And as we saw already, Jeanty could miss time. If he does, Mike Washington's a must-start running back. And so he's still, even with Jeanty getting to what looks like back to week one, still one of the top handcuff running backs. For me, it's kind of like when Corum and Menungai come off the board, I'm going to start considering Washington. A talented guy with almost no competition outside of Ashton Jeanty.
Did you happen to hear what Rand Carthon said about Mike Washington?
I did not.
So Rand Carthon, former general manager of the Titans, does the First Pick podcast that Adam doesn't know about.
With the First Pick.
Yeah. Excuse me. With Ryan Wilson, it's great. They do a lot of draft coverage, but also get into a lot of stuff that goes on in the NFL currently. And Rand said, I think it was this past week, I saw the clip on social media, that Mike Washington is a better fit for the Raiders offense than Ashton Jeanty. Wow. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to play over Ashton Jeanty. That's better than Ashton Jeanty. He's just a better fit for what he does and what this offense is asking their running backs to do. And so Rand also, by the way, former NFL running back, played for the Colts. We'll find out if that's the case. I do think, I remember saying this after the draft with Kubiak, that are we going to see the Seahawks? And it was just so dominant for Jeanty last year that Raheem Mostert, who was their number two running back, barely played. I'm going to guess he had probably the highest percentage of touches of any running back on his team last season. And now we have this opening from Jeanty being hurt and the way Washington looked. Does Kubiak get his chance to use a two-back system and take some pressure off of Jeanty? So you got to be a little bit concerned about Jeanty, even if he is 100%. And I think it's a great call by Heath. You know, I'm sure we've all moved him up to a certain degree based on where it was. I know Heath was sort of ahead of the curve on this, that this could be a potential flex. You know, there's always these guys, like you mentioned two of those, Corum and Menungai. Like we may get flex production while the starter, quote unquote starter, is healthy. And then you get that lottery ticket boom if the starter does go down.
I keep forgetting to bring this guy up. It's not really relevant to this conversation, but got an email about him. It's relevant to this conversation, not this topic. Got an email about him and never read it, I don't think. But do you guys think Dylan Sampson is going to be someone that could give us flex production based on his role with the Browns, Dylan Sampson?
I don't know that the Browns will have enough offensive success for that to happen. I think they're like Judkins is their best offensive player, and they're just going to want to keep him on the field to try to keep the offense alive. But maybe.
Okay. All right. Let's get back to Heath. So you got it.
Well, if you like just the PPR guys, so like Gainwell, Rashad White, Tyjae Spears, like Dylan Sampson's in that mold, but at the very end of that group.
Man, you said if you like, and I almost just started singing Pina Coladas right there, but. Heath, Chris Godwin is your next riser. He's almost like the FFT darling, like the community riser here. We're excited about him. He's going 88th right now in that real-time ADP as wide receiver 35. How about you, Heath?
I just want you to know that while I was at the beach yesterday, I did have a pina colada. So you'd be happy to. I do like pina coladas. I was pretty out on Chris Godwin a month ago. And it's been very encouraging camp reports, as I think Jamie made the joke about last week. He's an old guy who got through training camp healthy.
That was your joke.
I'm still behind Jamie on him, but I'm now ahead of ADP. Happy to draft Chris Godwin in round 7 if he gets there. I think he's a good wide receiver 3 that might be a wide receiver 2 in week 1 or better if Emeka Ebuka is not healthy.
Parker Washington, a riser for you. Is this reluctantly? Right now he's going 66th overall. That is round 6, wide receiver 29.
So I'm ahead of Parker Washington's ADP apparently now too. But all right. I think I've drafted him twice in 20 drafts. But you don't have a choice. Like the choice is how much do you want to react to Parker Washington, not if you react to Parker Washington. It's been... It's either going to be one of the most hilarious rounds of coach speak that we've ever had, or he's the most obvious breakout ever. And those are pretty much the only two options.
Not just coach speak, reporter speak too. I mean, that was kind of the thing. Yeah. It's like every reporter has been Parker Washington.
If Luther Burden had not gotten hurt, it might have been a close battle between Parker Washington and Luther Burden for like the most positive vibes of the offseason. But because Burden missed a month, I think Washington was easily the the darling of the offseason. Mm-hmm.
And Dalton Schultz, the last riser on this list for you, currently tight end 18 in between Hunter Henry and Brenton Strange, two tight end picks after Juwan Johnson.
I would like to draft Dalton Schultz before all of those guys. Thankfully, I don't have to. A lot of times I look today, he's available in 49% of leagues. Some leagues haven't drafted yet, so maybe that's why. But he's going to be available. He's going to be on the waiver wire column for sure, I would think. He had 106 targets last year. They lost more target competition than they gained. He's the guy that CJ Stroud trusts when Nico Collins is not open. And he has a chance to be 110 plus targets this year.
He does have the worst, based on last year, the worst week one matchup with Buffalo. Things could change, but Buffalo is terrific at covering tight ends. They smother tight ends. They do not give up a lot of short, easy throws, but they don't have Sean McDermott anymore. I don't know what that's going to look like here. So
I would guess a completely different defensive system.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, they're changing their front. So there's definitely going to be a change.
Listen, he's between him and Juwan Johnson. There's just, it's easy if you whiff on the position to take these two guys because of what has transpired post NFL draft. Like you thought Jaden Higgins was going to be this potential breakout guy. We had Chris Harris, you know, Harris Football, saying that that was one of his favorite breakouts. I think a lot of people were thinking he's going to have a big role and Tank Dell was going to be healthy. And then we see both those guys starting the season in IR, Higgins out for the year. We thought Jordan Tyson was going to be a big piece of the Saints offense, another tight end, and Juwan Johnson, who was awesome at the end of last season for fantasy managers, given the cost. Like, these are just two, okay, holy cow, I whiffed on tight end because somebody took two, and I don't know who to draft. Like, these two guys are great. May not have the best matchups week in, week out, but
yeah,
you know, under the circumstances, like, they're easy fallback options.
Well, if he's going to get six targets, if Schultz is going to get six or more targets, he had 10 of those games last year, 11 plus PPR and seven of them.
Nice.
So that's what you got to hope for. You have to worry about, well, does the tenor of this offense change because David Montgomery's there? They should be able to run the ball a little bit more effectively. Guys like Jalen Knoll and Kayshon Booty are going to get bigger opportunities. Booty obviously just got acquired by the Texans from New England. Are they going to take targets away from Schultz? Schultz is kind of boring, but if you see a pathway to him getting six plus targets per game, I think you know the numbers will be there.
Okay.
I'm not sure Booty and Schultz will ever be within 30 yards of each other on a route.
That's true.
Nice right. Scrimmage.
Kayshon Booty's like a gunner on special teams when he runs around. All right, we'll be right back with more Jamie's risers and then our fallers. And I'm trying to save a little time for your emails at the end of the show. We'll be right back. And Jamie's got a couple of risers to talk about. Jordan Love, who is in real-time ADP QB 18, 140th overall. And Quentin Johnston, who is now wide receiver 41, going just ahead of Jaden Reed. He also had Ramondre Stevenson on the list, but we talked about that. But Jordan Love, do you have him higher than QB 18?
Yes, and I would take him ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
Woo-wee. Okay. Would you take him ahead of Kyler Murray?
No. They're back-to-back.
Okay. How about Quentin Johnston versus Jaden Reed?
Quentin Johnston over Jaden Reed. I think you're looking at a guy for the last two seasons has scored 8 touchdowns and got off to such a great start last year. The first 4 games of the season, at least 14.9 PPR points per game, averaged 19.9 PPR points in those 4 games. Joe Alt was healthy for all 4 of those games. So healthy offensive line. I think Rashawn Slater back. There's a path to a lot of production in this offense. And this was one, you know, you've kind of framed this in a way that I didn't necessarily mean to put Quentin Johnston on. This isn't somebody that's been a significant riser. It's just been somebody that's slowly risen after the last couple of weeks, not necessarily moved a ton, but just somebody I get more excited about. So I would actually look for him in round 6 at this point. Like, I think Quentin Johnston could get to that 1,010 mark that we love. His max so far has been, again, 8 touchdowns, 775 yards. The way that Mike McDaniel talks about him and the fact that I hope he stays healthy, he got a little bit banged up in camp, it just feels like Ladd McConkey and Quentin Johnston are both going to have big years.
He averaged 11.8 PPR points per game last year, and that was his average even after his big 4 games that Jamie just talked about. In 2024, he averaged 11.7. So if we just look at this guy and say, okay, he's close to 12 PPR points just in a normal year for the Chargers without a genius play caller, then maybe there's a chance there that he can get a little bit better than that and could be worth the round six pick.
I'd like some odds on Quentin Johnston outscoring Ladd McConkey for a second straight year.
You're the guy that does this. You put the odds out there.
No, I want Adam to give them so I can make him make a bet.
Yeah, but you're the professional.
Yeah, I'm bad at giving odds. if anybody wants to be inspired, my podcast league team picking fifth, 14-team league. I went running back heavy. McCaffrey, Bowers, Travis, Etienne, Achan, and Cam Scataboo, and my two starting wide receivers. I'm sure I was the last person to take a wide receiver. Chris Godwin, 61st overall. Quentin Johnston, 80th overall. Jamie loves my team.
I really do. It's two great wide receivers in that type of format to get at that point. You'd love to have a little bit of a better guy at the top of that. Yeah. I can give you a similar situation in our 18-team office. I think it's 18-team. 18-team office league where you start one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, tight end, and two flexes. I have Garrett Wilson, Chris Godwin, and Quentin Johnson.
Yeah, great. Love it. Okay.
And Jayden Reed.
Oh, okay. On your bench, Jayden Reed. Yeah. Fallers here. Then we might retire it after this one, but Jamie's faller is Jeremiah Love. I don't know. Maybe it's run its course. But Jeremiah Love hasn't run anything yet. But yeah, he's currently going 30th in the real-time ADP and the NFC ADP. Let's see where he's going here. He's going 37th. Where would you take Jeremiah Love?
Yeah, in that range, 37th. He's a round four pick, early round four pick for me. I'm just a little concerned with the ankle injury on top of all the other things that could go wrong for the Cardinals. He's an amazing talent, and I think you're going to get a lot of highlight plays and some big games, but their schedule's awful. Their win total's not expected to be very high. There's going to be Tyler Algier taking touchdowns, which is nerve-wracking. We'll see if James Conner gets healthy and plays at some point. So if you want to draft him in round three and you look at that group of running backs, Javonte Williams, Kyren Williams, Travis Achane, DeAndre Swift, Breece Hall, like he's in that conversation for sure. You know, whether you want him at the front of it or the back of it, for me, he's in front of all those guys. He's behind all those guys except for Breece Hall. So I just think with Swift having no Monongai and Achane having no Kamara early in the season, that gives those guys a little bit of a leg up and they're on much better offenses. And then it's just a matter of just how much does the talent of Jeremiah Love exceed all of those other players. So I'm just a little bit cautious. I haven't drafted him very much. I think I have him in maybe one league.
I just did my week one projections this weekend, and we're going to have our rankings on the site tomorrow. I don't have Jeremiah Love as a top 24 running back this week.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be there either. You know, like this is one where you're talking Marshawn Lloyd and Ramondre Stevenson and guys that, you know, could be in a much better standing than him.
I don't know if Ramondre's in a much better situation, but
without Trevion, I'd take him over Jeremiah Love.
Oh. Over Jeremiah Love, yeah, I guess so. But I mean, tomorrow or Tuesday, whatever, I'll give you plenty of running backs who had a ton of touches against Seattle and did absolute garbage.
They didn't play on the Patriots.
I think Bijan Robinson might have been one of them. I could be confusing with the Patriots defense because their run defense was even better than Seattle's when Milton Williams was healthy. But these were two of the toughest matchups in fantasy for running backs last year. Okay, moving on. Carnell Tate, currently going 77th in between Marvin Harrison Jr. and DK Metcalf. Carnell Tate, a faller for you. Jamie.
Carnell Tate's a faller just with the way the Titans offense has looked. Like this is one, you know, how you set this up. Beginning of camp, was willing to take the risk on him in round six. Like, top rookie wide receiver, they needed this type of player, special talent, and he still might be. I have a feeling second half of the season he's going to look a lot better. But right now the Titans look lost, and there's just a lot of – like, I'd rather have Quentin Johnston and Jayden Reed than Carnell Tate, which is something I never thought I'd say.
Okay, and Terry McLaurin, wide receiver 24 right now, going 55th in between Davante Adams and Luther Burden. Terry McLaurin, a faller for you.
Yeah, you know, first off, the Diggs signing, you know, that was an issue. You know, it was great when there was the path to whatever David Blau said, you know, the 10 targets per game.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's still the case. But now you have offensive line concerns. You have target concerns. It's just hard to say that Terry McLaurin at 31 years old is that exciting. So I think he's a good settle for number two wide receiver. Still has the upside to be a top 20 guy. But this was somebody, I remember the Fishbowl, I drafted him fourth or fifth round. You know, I forget how it all played out, but like as my second receiver was like so excited about the opportunity. You know, that was a draft that was in early middle of August, I think, early August. So since camp, it's just been a slow slide. Like I'd rather have Devontae Adams than Terry McLaurin. I never would have said that at start camp.
Okay, good stuff. Jeremiah Love, Carnell Tate, and Terry McLaurin as fallers for Jamie. Heath has Chuba Hubbard as a faller. He's currently looking at that Fantasy Pros real time. He's still just ahead of Josh Jacobs, which I think, well, you tell me if you agree with it, but also ahead of Jonathan Brooks. Chuba Hubbard is RB 30 right now. What are you thinking about the Panthers backfield?
I don't think that number is accurate. Looking at FFPC drafts from the last 2 days, he's going 102nd overall, which sounds a little bit more right. I think he's around 9 pick. And the funny thing is Chuba Hubbard's fall, I wasn't necessarily talking entirely about my rankings, but just about the way things are now. Mm-hmm. I think his fall has made him a better draft pick than he was a month ago. A month ago, yep. I didn't want to draft him at all, and I wanted to draft Jonathan Brooks because he'd be so much cheaper. And now Chuba might be a slightly better value than Jonathan Brooks. But I still wouldn't take him before round 9. So if he's actually going 88th overall, I think that's too high. But round 9 pick and a chance that maybe he's just the lead back again at some point.
And the latest report we got was that the Panthers were optimistic about Jonathan Brooks being ready for week 1. So we got to keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, like guy who's torn his ACL twice and now is hurt, you know, but
it's soreness.
Yeah. All right.
We'll probably find out it was planned like McCaffrey's.
Yeah, exactly. No issues. Yeah. Mekhi Lemon. He is now going 109th overall in between Michael Pittman and Dejon Stribling.
I thought this guy was right in the conversation, right behind Jordan Tyson and Carnell Tate. And I guess he's still in the conversation in between them now because Jordan Tyson's out for a lot longer. But you never like it when rookie wide receivers miss a bunch of time in camp. And it sounds like the expectation should be week 1 that Dontavian Wicks is the wide receiver 2 on this team. I don't think that's going to last very long. And again, Lemon probably now a better pick than he was when his ADP was higher. Round 10 seems about right. I would rather draft him. I'm not drafting Michael Pittman, and I would draft him over Dejon Stribling. But he's one of those guys, like you talked about with Stribling, you might drop him after week 1.
Yeah.
Don't click Mekhi Lemon if you're thinking you might drop him after week 1.
Right. Yes.
Like you draft him and plan on holding him for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a great point. Tyler Warren is tight end 4 in ADP. He's going 50th. That's 15 to 16 picks ahead of Sam Laporta and Tucker Kraft.
Absurd. Absurd.
So he's a faller for you, Tyler Warren.
Yeah. I don't think the Keenan Allen news was good news for Sam Laporta. It was, or for Tyler Warren. It was, it's my
boy. You love it.
Well, no, you said Sam Laporta when you were talking about his ADP.
I did. They
work in exactly the same part of the field. And Laporta's been a little banged up here at the end of camp as well. And I said Laporta for Warren again.
didn't want to say anything.
Keep saying Sam Laporta. Yeah. No, I would draft both Sam Laporta and Kyle Pitts ahead of Tyler Warren. And I said all the names correctly that time.
There you go. And a last guy on your list, another faller at tight end, second-year tight end for the Chargers, Aronde LaPorta.
Aronde LaPorta, do not draft him. He was super cool last year, but like maybe we'll pick him up on the waiver wire at some point. Do not draft him.
Okay.
You might pick up Charlie Kohler.
Yeah.
I don't really believe that either.
Yeah, come on. And the joke has got to be the guy who's going to catch passes. It's not Charlie Kohler. He's never done that.
Yeah, I mean, remember Colby Parkinson when he never did that, and then he was the guy last year for the Rams?
I mean, that's sometimes that happens, but you notice that they're not talking about Colby Parkinson this year, right? Like the guy.
No, now they're talking about Tyler Higbee.
They're talking about Terrence Ferguson all the time.
No, Ferguson's been hurt, and they made Higbee a captain.
Well, Higbee's being a captain does not increase his fantasy value.
This will be the last thing I say about the FFPC drafts. Terrence Ferguson's like an 8th round pick.
What's kind of crazy?
Wow. It's incredible.
If he hits, he's gonna listen. I love Terrence Ferguson.
We can say that literally about everybody.
I would definitely take a flyer on Terrence Ferguson of all the tight ends in Los Angeles.
Yes.
But if you look at what these coaches do, like, they don't do what we want them to do. Like, we want to see a Rondae Gadsden. We want to see Terrence Ferguson. And you may get Parkinson or Higbee, and you may get Charlie Kohler.
Dan just took Terrence Ferguson 151st overall in our elimination league. And I'm really upset about it because I was hoping to take him with the 153rd pick.
Okay, but, so that's round 13, not right. Round 8.
Yes. Okay.
No. I've seen DeJuan Stribling go round 6. I'm not going to say who took him, but it's a prominent fantasy analyst in a high-stakes league. So there are some definite people who are like, when you love your guy, this speaks to the whole thing that we've talked about before. When you want your guy, you go get your guy. Just be a little reasonable about it.
Well, when you're in high stakes leagues, you got, like, if we, as we just talked about, Stribling hits, that's a huge win.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be, you know, two or three other people that you could have taken in that spot in that round at that ADP that could have been better if they don't hit.
Dave's got two fallers that he wanted to mention. Cam Scadaboo, we talked about 40 minutes ago, and Emeka Abuka. And I feel so
sad. The toe. I loved Abuka. Top 15 receiver for me all offseason long, and then he hurts his toe. And the fact that it's taking him just until now to get back into practice for Tampa, and it looks like he'll be ready to go for week one, it's discouraging. It makes me worry about him being able to reach his ceiling this year. Makes me worried about him re-injuring it. It does seem like if he's out this long that it was turf toe. I guess I'm glad that it happened now, because if it happened in season, we'd have to have him on the bench or in an IR spot. But missing all this camp time, I doubt that he'll be ready to be full go and command targets the same way that he would if he had been healthy all preseason long.
Nice thing is you got him cheaper, though.
That's true. But I'm what do I want to say here? Godwin looked great in the practice I saw. The reports have been good about Godwin. Ted Hurst has been making inroads on getting playing time. Jalen McMillan, who was out with an injury, he's on the same timetable as Abuka. So this receiving core is getting pretty crowded, and Baker loves Ted Hurst. And he's been talking up Godwin, saying, like, this is the best version of Chris Godwin since, you know, 2024, which, I mean, that dude was pretty amazing in 2024, and he looked good in camp this year. So I'm a little worried about Abuka being 8 targets per game. And that's what I was kind of expecting before the injury. And now it's going to be around 7. You're going to get him as a number 2 wide receiver. He'll have some blow up weeks. Probably won't be for the first few weeks of the season.
Luther Burden or Emeka Abuka?
I think you got to go Burden now.
Yep.
Yeah. Burden the hand. You know what they say.
It's worth one in the Abuka.
Thank you to Whoop for sponsoring this week's Risers and Fallers. With Whoop, you can better understand how your body is responding to the travel, the training, the late nights, the weather changes. It helps you see what's supporting your energy and recovery and what might be holding you back so you can make meaningful changes to enhance your overall health. And once again, if you'd like to join Heath and Jamie and tons of other Whoop users and learn how you can get a free month on us, head to join.whoop.com/FFT. That is join.whoop.com/FFT. All right, I'm going to go 3 minutes for emails here. You guys ready?
Go.
Tim in Denver. Hey, Mary, Harry, and Lloyd.
I know that one.
Do you?
Adam and Adamer.
I love it. 12-team PPR league where the prior year's champion gets to pick a temporary 1-year rule change. The guy who won last year never wins and pulled off a miracle, and now his rule change is the dumbest rule in the entire world. We are only allowed to make 5 acquisitions all year.
So bad.
How would this change your strategy, Jamie?
How would it change my strategy? I hope there's a lot of trades. I would be clearly cautious with the moves I would make, but it just sucks because, like, you can't stream defenses. You got to worry about your bye weeks. I hate it.
But like, do you take a defense earlier? Do you take, like, Jonathan Taylor
take
over
two
Puka?
Defenses?
Yeah, do you take 2 defenses?
You get how many bench spots?
He said we at least increase the bench size, so it's almost like a best ball league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in that case, you're taking 2 defenses. You're taking 2 kickers, probably. You're taking, or I would hopefully eliminate kickers and defense if you want to just really make it the best version of this. Yeah, you gotta be cautious. There you go, Frank.
My strategy would be to leave the league from Frank. I love it. All right, next question. We'll give this one to Dave. Hopefully, he can get
Dan would absolutely butcher that answer. You guys would love. I don't know how much you guys listen talking to Heath and Dave. Like, you guys listen to the mailbag when we do Fantasy Cops, because Dan does not answer the question. No. Dan just. I'm going to say it. Sorry.
He just craps on the league.
He shits all over the league.
Come on.
Like, just constantly. Like, he would just forget about that answer and just destroy the league.
And does he go on and on for like 90 seconds destroying the league?
90 seconds.
That reminds me. I need to remove his commissioner access in the Beyond the Box Score Dynasty League.
Yes. There you go. This question is, Dave, I don't have a name or a city here.
Bob from Ogden, Utah.
Dear Hillel, Dave, and Josh.
Come on, Dave. Come on. Easy.
Hillel?
It's not easy. Hillel is pretty easy, though.
Is there Red Hot Chili Peppers?
College.
These are former Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarists. He read it in the answer. He read it in the email.
He's flexing his RHCP love.
No, he read
What's your favorite
email.
Chili Peppers song?
Oh, I don't know any of the names of the songs.
By the way,
how many times have you seen them live?
For those of you curious, I've seen them twice. We were actually going to do the Beat Chad Smith Leagues again, but we weren't able to make it happen, unfortunately. I know.
You gave it away now?
They felt bad about that, so we'll do it next year. The question was, it's for Dave. What do you do in a league where, like, everyone drafts quarterbacks early? We always say, wait for quarterback, but you really can't because you end up with crappy quarterbacks.
Is everybody taking two quarterbacks?
Yeah, a lot of them take two, sometimes even three.
There's still going to be somebody there.
He says he's been burned in the past by getting crappy quarterbacks. Just adjust to your league. Take them earlier.
I guess.
Heath, are we overlooking the fact that Jonathan Taylor had a massive point drop off when Daniel Jones missed games, and considering Jones's track record of missing time, is that enough to take Cook over Jonathan Taylor?
It is not enough for me, but that's the same thing I would say about Achan, and it's just because it's not as if, like, I know James Cook was right behind those guys when you look at the rankings of where guys finished last year, but he wasn't right behind those guys in terms of fantasy points per game. It's a pretty big gap. And so I'm not going to lower Jonathan Taylor just because Daniel Jones might get hurt. But second off, he would have to make up a pretty big gap.
Right. That's the boogeyman case for Jonathan Taylor. You want the boogeyman case for James Cook? Okay. I won't give it to you.
Yeah, sure. Go for it. And we'll end the show on that.
385 touches last year, career high.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a dude.
835 yards and 6 touchdowns off the last 5 rushing leaders.
It's such a random stat.
I love
it. Such a random stat. It's like,
well, what does it take to be the leading rusher in the league? It takes a lot of work. Yeah, so the year after, there's going to be some regression.
But he barely had more yards and the same amount of carries basically as Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. It's basically just semantics that he won the rushing title. Like, are we not afraid that Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry are both going to have a 4,000 yard
They didn't win the rushing title, Adam.
Henry.
What's that?
They didn't win the rushing title. That's not how it works.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's, you know, all right, right. We're going to go.
But just because the guy
I'm sorry, you don't understand math.
He was 15 touches short of 100. We should, or 400 rather. The rules about 400 touch running back should probably apply to him.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Draft Ray Davis.
Everyone sucks. They're all busts. Everyone's a bust. We'll talk to you on Tuesday, everybody. Enjoy your day off. And if you're still drafting, good luck. Not. Let's get ready for week 1. Talk to you Tuesday on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.
Out of the shadows of Paramount Mountain, Axe, Tyrus, and Gilius battle against the evil giant Death Adder.
You better not be another mini-boss. You better be the final one!
Golden Axe! New series streaming September 16th on Paramount+.